Step right up, and experience the next and greatest innovation in domestic living. You there, young person.
Yes?
With the slack jaw.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, pick my jaw off.
Please pick that up. Okay. I know you're shocked and amazed even. Have you ever seen anything the likes of which that I bestow upon here?
It's a house.
It's more than that, young lady, for it is our first movable home. You can just take this little old home anywhere you so choose.
So it's a mobile home.
What is that?
Okay, tell me about it.
This is a movable home, you see, my dear.
Okay.
All you need to do is to huff puff, or maybe tip it over slightly, or pull on this cord here, and the entirety of the building collapses upon itself. And then you just put up all the pieces in our very conveniently trademark movable home movers. Little carriages with tiny little horses that drag it around. We have about 100 little carriages, and you just take all the pieces of your home, stack it up, and just move it anywhere you want.
And is it stable?
Is it stable?
Yes, when I set it up.
Of course it's stable.
Okay.
You just put it back together. You follow
what
the instructions.
And hopes and dreams?
No, you follow the instructions. All you need is a second person and a screwdriver and a couple of IKEA pegs, and you should be all right.
I did not come back in time for this bullshit.
I'm feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs, up to camp with Stephen King, river curses, Wesley sings, homegrown horror!
Hello! And welcome to
Homegrown
Much more ghosty today than ever.
Spoopalicious.
Because we got spoops to talk about today.
Woo!
A couple spoops, in fact. Island spoops.
Island spoops from my co-host.
Me, Jackson, a co-host.
And I'm B, the other co-host. We are together one host.
One beautiful host. In this eldritch horror of a podcast.
We talk about main spooky things, ghosts, goblins, ghouls, murder, true crime, cryptids, and today, islands?
Islands with many different, well, not just, you know, just because it's an island.
No,
it
islands.
It would be funny to just start islands. Reviewing islands across the coast, though.
Islands are the most terrifying thing you can imagine.
It actually is pretty terrifying just, you know, being on an island sometimes. If you don't have any, like, boat or access to, like, anything really great.
And you get cut off from the world.
Like, if you're on Boone Island, bad time.
Fair.
Bad time in
Super
the middle
fair.
Of a storm. I'm gonna, you know, we get stranded on there. I'm gonna start looking at you like you're a hot dog. Look at my lips and be like, ooh,
I know,
I
we love cannibals here.
We love cannibals. Oh my goodness. I'm not looking forward to anyway.
The bonus.
I don't know if I should advocate our bonus episode, but I just cannot handle
it's a hot mess
cannibals.
And the movie's the hot mess.
Yeah, so if you want to listen to that bullshit, feel free to. Did we think of when's this coming out? Though this is still February.
Yeah,
never mind. You don't get to know anything about a bonus
yeah,
episode.
I haven't decided on the bonus for because I don't feel like watching the sequel to Offspring.
No, 100% no. I'd rather watch like the new Dark Shadows or whatever.
Oof, good. Like,
it's gonna come at some point.
I remember
it's gonna happen at some point.
We went and saw that at the Nickelodeon.
And yeah, pretty bad.
It was.
Was it better than the old Dark Shadows? Because those are.
It was goofy, and I feel like now having watched the old Dark Shadows movies, I'm like, oh, this tracks.
Like, it's, oh, okay, this is meant to be kind of
yeah,
schlocky.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like,
because
I remember
oh
some
goodness.
People were upset. I didn't watch the Dark Shadows TV show, so I don't know, but just going off of the movies, like, that shit was insane.
Yeah, that's what
so,
I heard.
So, the movie, like the 2012 Dark Shadows, it tracks.
Yeah.
And it is like just an updated kind of, it's cartoonish. It reminds me of, like, it's like just, it's like, it is like a comic book almost. Mm. Everything's very cartoony. Mm-hmm. The color, like, everyone's a little larger than life, so I feel like it's still in the same vein.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't necessarily take itself too seriously. It's a little weird, but, you know, it's not... I've now, like, again, in the canon of Dark Shadows, I think it's probably normal.
Yeah, okay.
Compared to the last, like, Dark Shadows we watched. As far as...
Yeah, no, I mean... The first one, I was kind of like, there's a little story here.
Yeah.
And the second one, I was just like, well, what the hell's... What the hell is even happening?
I just remember... before we get started, I did want to mention, so for those of you who remember the bonus, like, we did not a bonus, but we did an interview kind of with Jeff who is our friend Anna's dad. He sent me a message after listening to the thinner bonus, and he said that he and a lot of his friends, because he's in the fire department, a lot of them got hired to help with the production. He said the soundstage was across from my apartment. I actually had a lot more screen time that ended up on the cutting floor. And yes, it was a horrible, at best, B movie, but boy, did they dump some money into the local economy that summer. And all the main film scenes were filmed in our mid-coast from Thomaston to Lincolnville. It was a huge deal. And he did say that he met the lead actor, Joe Mantegna. He said he was a nice guy and then went on to spend time on Criminal Minds. So I thought that was really cool.
Jeff went to say he went to go spend time on Criminal Minds. I like that. I think that's funny.
Yeah, he went on.
I think
spin.
That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So
what was the? I want to know
for, like, more some more in folks. Like, my grandparents were in it, but, you know, they're obviously not from Midcoast. So I think it was really nice also to hear from a local who worked on the production, and the fact that it's like he, you know, he was able to sort of point out. Although it's kind of a shitty movie, it did do a lot for the economy and kind of really helped out. And I think that...
I could imagine, yeah.
Yeah. So that's really nice, is that, like, getting that confirmation, like, okay, maybe it was a kind of cruddy, but you know what? At least some good came out of it.
You know, so, honestly...
Thank you, HBO.
So if I could just say one thing, I think Thinner looks like... a fucking, like, should be part of the Criterion collection compared to Offspring.
I would watch, honestly. I hated Thinner in the fact that it was kind of like grody, and it made me feel uncomfortable, but I would watch it again if I could either watch Thinner again or delete Offspring from my memory. I would watch Thinner again.
There you go. Because we have to live through our experiences. And this island that we're talking about has a lot of lived experience as a 64-acre, tiny little island, part of Orono, right on the Penobscot River. This little smudge of land has had an interesting history. It was first bought by a couple of settlers to Orono, Joshua Ayers, who constructed a sawmill on the island around 1774. Since that point, this little island...
How easy is it to get to the island?
It's very easy.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Like, he built a sawmill on the island. Like, is it just for the island?
Let me just go ahead and show you kind of, like, where it's at. That's
okay.
It's 64 acres, very small. It's
okay.
Kind of near the university. It's near Orono Brewing Company. So, yeah. Hey, have a few and then walk across and go to this island. Just kidding. Don't do it. You'll go to jail. It's a privately owned island now. It's been that way since, I think, the 70s. Hold on. Let me put back the timeline here. Oh, yeah. No, actually, much more recently than that. Well, you couldn't really go on there. It was turned into a textile mill after some time, but was then closed in 1996. The mill itself was abandoned, so it was actually built up kind of like early 70s and 80s. A lot of the construction on the island happened around like the 80s as the textile mill was built up. The final look of how it looks today, I'm going to give you a picture here. It's kind of grainy, kind of an older one. But that gives you a better scope of like how big the island is.
This reminds,
and
so,
that's the connect. There's a connecting bridge walkway almost that cuts across a smaller portion of island into the main island.
Have you been to Mackworth yet?
I have not.
It's very similar to Mackworth, which is off of Falmouth.
Oh, okay.
So you can either walk across or drive across. So that's the vibe. If you are listeners, if you're familiar with Mackworth in this area, it's the vibe.
The ground is now polluted.
Aww.
Yeah, so not really a place to go. Oh, I misspoke. Sorry. 1838 was around when the mill first started being built out. My apologies. And then most of the, my notes are all fucked up, sorry. Most of the additions happened around 1907.
Jackson's just here to lie to you.
I'm just lying through my teeth here. It's hard to put... compile the notes when it comes to hauntings.
I totally agree with that.
Oh, well, this is kind of interesting. According to this little article as well that I've been looking at here, the current owner bought the island at a special deal with the town for the price of a dollar.
What?
Yeah. It is currently owned by the Ayers Island LLC. So there was like a little company created to basically hold the island.
Is there a stipulation for this, or did the town just not want to deal with it anymore?
I think there's a bit of like not wanting to deal with it anymore, potentially. But who knows what's happening with it? The island itself now has been fitted with like a lot of different surveillance and sensors all across the island.
Okay.
Which resulted in some ghost hunters getting nabbed later in life. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Which is kind of like, yeah, you know, hey, you got, when you ghost hunt, you got to ask.
I was going to say, if you if
ghost
you
hunt
do,
with consent. Consent.
That's, yeah, that's what we've learned, is if you want to hunt, you have to ask. Like, don't make everyone else in the community look bad.
Yeah.
A bunch of vagrants.
Now, this little island has been around for quite a long time, has had a rich history, so dating much earlier, of course, than, say, the 1700s.
Yeah.
Which brings us to our first mystery of the island. The first mystery is sort of a cryptid sort of character called Wooden Lucy.
Ah, yes.
Wooden Lucy.
Okay, Allegra had mentioned this one.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how far back?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a lot about it.
No, she was just going through some stuff because we were talking about how we didn't have a lot of like cryptids and things left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, not a whole lot with Wooden Lucy. There's actually going to be like three other things we'll be talking about. But supposedly, according to a very reputable website, this Wooden Lucy is actually based on a Penobscot sort of spirit called the Wamagiswak. If I said that wrong, I apologize. I don't have the phonetic spelling in front of me, and I have a very unreliable website. supposedly, it's similar to like a Wendigo. Similar thing. Cannibal spirit.
Okay.
Vengeful cannibal spirit. And this has been twisted in sort of like, I guess, the European viewpoint to be this Wooden Lucy character who's this kind of like a pale lady. She's a pale lady with blonde hair that zips in and out of the trees. Supposedly, sailors that go past the island see this woman naked as a bird.
I don't like that.
Whipping around the trees, looking around for people to eat.
Maybe she's just part of the offspring.
Maybe she's just part of... Oh, there it is. There's the start of it. This was around 1800s.
Honestly, there
it's around
could...
when the cannibal
again,
cult
I'll,
happened
I'll
in
say
offspring.
It again. The cannibal cult, like, that could have been so much deeper tied to like some of the mythos we have in Maine.
Yeah, yeah. It could have been. I mean,
it could have been. We have been a lot more. We have Boone Island where cannibalism happened. We have the Chenu. We now have Wooden Lucy. You had choices.
Honestly,
I digress.
I don't mean for this to be an Offsprings like bonus episode part two, but
they're coming out like at the same time.
Yeah,
so
they're coming out around the same time. So if you want to listen to it, go ahead. But I will say those cannibals were sloppy. They've supposedly been around since like the early 1800s. And now they're like covering a whole town in blood and everything. Sloppy work. Amateur cannibals, as far as I can tell. Don't punch the mic.
Just knock it off the table.
This is the theme of the season, is punching mics.
Actually, yes, I've struggled with my mic all season.
But Wooden Lucy, you know, hikers, trespassers, others possibly seeing this. Maybe related to it, but some ghost hunters might see little orbs and lights appearing on the island. We all know how we feel about orbs, you know.
Wait, is this separate from Wooden Lucy?
It's kind of related, but also separate. So we're going to get into it.
My other thing is, like, if you have something like a Wendigo, like, figure where it's like a cannibal spirit. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that somebody would have been cannibalized by now?
Yeah, right.
If no one lives on the island, one would think that if somebody comes up, she'd be like, hot dog. Mm. I'm so happy my DoorDash came early.
So I believe this is the correct order of the haunts. So first we have Wooden Lucy. Now we're going to be talking about the... It's related to sort of first settlers kind of in this area. Actually, no, it's not related to the first settlers at all. So 1927, and we're going to be jumping over to an individual named Samuel Hawthorne, who is helping to build out more of the textile factory. Samuel Hawthorne, you know, this mill already has a bad reputation, sort of is seen as haunted, potentially, with many different, like, it's just a creepy vibe to this place, probably, you know? Mm-hmm. So one day, Samuel Hawthorne is out chopping wood, he's chopping around. And then their little prankster teenager Margaret Hawthorne, you know, she's out there, you know, being a nuisance and trying to sneak up on Samuel while he's chopping wood, and decides to try to scare the pants off of him. So Margaret comes creeping up. Boo! And Samuel just smacks her in the head with an axe.
Yeah! Like you... What? It's fine.
I don't have anything to corroborate this, by the way. This is just
That's the local story.
That's the local story. That's the urban legend. And some people might even, like, go as far to say, oh, Wooden Lucy is actually Margaret Hawthorne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then why don't we call it Wooden Margaret?
That's a Maggie. Great question.
why did you decide to change your name to Lucy after she died? That's rude. Maybe that's why she's mad.
You know, I really only think that maybe one site was really making this claim. So I think it's more Wooden Lucy first.
Yeah.
Part of the angry, vengeful spirits.
Let's go with this is separate.
This is a separate thing. Yes, exactly. But some say that potentially... Margaret continues to haunt the island.
Her name was also Hawthorne, so they're related.
Yeah,
so her dad.
So, I said the teenage daughter.
I didn't hear daughter. Okay. I heard prankster.
Teenage prankster.
That's what I heard. That sucks.
Daughter, prankster, same word. So this place does have quite a bit of a mythos around it. There's another sort of tale that might relate to why is the island so haunted? And I don't have any dates as far as... actually, no, this is a little later. This is much later. So still in the name of the Hawthorns, a prolific family, you know?
Apparently.
But it came down to Paul Hawthorne.
Oh, God.
Paul Hawthorne decided that, I need myself a foreman on this place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then he said, okay, well, I'm going to hire my good old friend, John Tanner.
Okay.
Yeah. You know John Tanner. He's a good guy. Yeah. He's a good foreman. He can really whip all these boys into shape. Well, yeah, turns out he was a jerk.
Oh. Wait, are you sure this isn't just the story of the lighthouse?
Just like two persnickety, you know, yeah, workers in a textile mill.
Yeah, he's the foreman, and then they're gonna
bring in a little, yeah, they're gonna kill him.
Yeah.
You could kill a seagull as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lumberjack, but I know where I've seen this film before, Jackson. I know what's gonna happen. Okay, so he's a jerk. Fantastic.
He's a big old jerk.
What are we gonna do about it?
Well, let me tell you, because like, you know, he was really mean to people. Okay, like he was berating the workers. He was just being a real asshole, and no one really ended up liking him. He was just a loud, you know, dickhead. Until one day, You see. There was something else that was happening here with Mr. Paul Hawthorne and John Tanner. Well, it turns out this man of irreputable character will stoop so low than to just bed Paul's wife. They had carried on an affair, a secret affair, that they would have in the lower bowels of the textile mill. Yeah, I don't know why. You could probably pick a cleaner place.
Absolutely.
Why can't you go outside the textile mill?
Girl, you can do better.
You can do better than getting fucked in the basement of the textile mill.
Absolutely.
It's dirty down there.
It's haunted.
And John Tanner, have some fucking self-respect. Come on.
Your friend gets you a job so you fuck his wife.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Why would you do that?
That's fucked up.
People are fucking weird.
It's wild. So anyway, like... So, you know, John Stuppen, the wife.
Jeez. In the textile mill.
In the textile mill, and all the workers know. So the workers start, like, conniving, and they're like, I hate John Tanner, so we're going to try to get Paul to see, to find out this affair is happening, to discover. They set it up one day so that Paul walks in on them, and he's livid. As anybody would be.
And he's going to take an axe.
He's like, it's fucking John Tanner, you asshole. I hired you.
You were my friend.
But, you know.
So he grabs an axe.
No.
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 And said, death would find Paul.
Paul?
Death would find John.
I was like, Jesus. Paul can't catch bread.
Death would find Paul.
His employees aren't happy because of the choice he made. His wife is stooping his friend, and now he's gonna die. Okay, yeah. John,
he deserves death for poor judgment of character. His workers should be upset with him. He has bad choice in hiring.
Yes, he does.
It's like, this is a shitty manager. Why would you do this? This is not the Olive Garden I signed up for. But, yeah. Mere days later, John. There was this crazy workplace accident. You would have to been there to believe it. But John somehow, you know, the dumb idiot, so clumsy. He got his arm stuck in some textile mill machine. I don't know what the fuck they use.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
The textile machine.
Yeah.
He got his arm stuck in it and ripped right out of his socket. Yeah, that's disgusting.
It's fucking gross.
Then this asshole, John, he starts asking for help. Like anyone, like he deserves help. It's like, ow, I'm bleeding. Help me, I'm dying.
And everyone's like,
shut up, John.
No, it'll be better if your work comp pays out to the surviving members of your family.
Yeah, no, this money will do better than you as a father would. So there he goes, bleeding out on the floor with no one actually helping him. Supposedly, everyone just kept doing their jobs and ignored him. That's according to this one website. I don't know. No real sources.
Is all this from
here.
The same website? Or?
Some of it is. Like, this is the most wall of text around some of the story that I can find. And some of this information is also corroborated. I'm using air quotes.
Can
by the Gardner Public Library.
Okay. The library said so.
Yes. The library said so. So, anyway, he dies. Blah. Well, you think that's the end?
No.
You fucking idiot.
Now he's vengeful.
He's
like,
a vengeful
like he
ghost.
Wasn't terrible in life. Now he has to be terrible in
I'm
death.
I'm going
to
be a real jerk of a ghost. I'm going to get you. So, anyway, Ghost Man, John Tanner. I want to say John Tapper. I like the idea of it being John Tapper.
It's Taffer.
Saffer, whatever. His name should be John Tapper. Like he taps a keg.
Yes.
What a missed opportunity.
Change your name, John.
John Taffer, you buffoon. There's a golden opportunity in front of you. Anyway, what happened to this episode? Anyway, so...
It's a Monday.
It is a Monday.
I didn't work, though, so... But we're still off the rails.
I did work, and maybe that's why my brain hurts. That's why I have a headache.
So now he's a vengeful spirit.
He's a vengeful spirit now, and you know what he did? I don't have anything to corroborate this, but you know what he did?
What'd he do?
He did a big bad thing. Did
he cause a fire?
There's suddenly a fire.
Fuck this mill!
I don't know, maybe like a month later or something, I don't know, unclear. A bad fire broke out in the textile mill and trapped a bunch of textile workers.
So we're blaming the ghost for something that happened pretty frequently in textile mills.
But there's evidence that it was John Tanner.
Okay.
So what happened was that all these workers, they got trapped. They got caught in the blaze. And some even reported that they did survive. Reported seeing the vengeful flaming spirit of John Tanner standing among the flames.
I'm pretty sure that that's probably just you're inhaling a lot of smoke.
Yes.
And there's...
Well, explain this.
Okay.
When the smoke cleared and the fire settled and... There were some crispy textile workers, some of them, some survived. They found a small smoked up stub of a cigar left alone in the burning site. The same brand of cigars smoked by John Tanner!
Nobody else smoked cigars.
Well, the brand.
I know, but nobody else smoked the same brand.
Shh.
That's like saying, I found a pack of Marlboro, so it must be this one person, as if nobody else smokes Marlboro.
Exactly. No, he was a Romeo and Julieta guy.
Oh my God.
He was the only one to smoke those.
All right.
He fucking flamed them. Romeo and Julieta. Good cigar. It's a cheap, affordable cigar.
I've never smoked, so I can't.
It's a $20 cigar. Confirm. It's pretty good.
$20 for a single cigar?
Yes.
Fuck that.
It's like 6 hours.
No, thank you.
You use it for 6 hours.
No.
You don't get it.
You don't get it.
You don't get it.
You don't get it.
You don't get what it's like to feel like a fucking like Cuban dictator walking around with your cigar. Swigging a little glass of brandy, pretending that you're better than everybody else. I always think it's funny, like, seeing a dude smoking a cigar in, like, the street. It's just like, this is what you do. Just smoke a cigar everywhere. Golfers love smoking cigars. That's a weird thing.
I also don't golf.
Yeah, so. Also. Well, there you go. Never will at this rate. Doesn't even smoke cigars.
So they're like, it's obviously vengeful ghost because there's a cigar, and not totally because somebody was probably smoking the cigar, flicked it into the textiles, and it caught on fire. Absolutely not. What are you talking about?
Totally not anything like that. And how dare you for saying so?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to these old-timey textile workers. I didn't mean to doubt your validity of your story.
Those are basically the stories. And yes, there's been a lot of ghost hunting and ghost activity supposedly on site. Very popular spot for ghost hunters.
Get caught?
Well, so much so. But that was after it was bought by the Ayers Island LLC.
Uh-huh. And? Oh, are you saying that before that... It was kind of free range.
Yeah, you could probably go in there.
Free range ghost hunters. Yeah. Okay.
But it was ill-advised also. It's a heavily polluted area, it being long-running textile mill. That ground is fucking disgusting. Yeah, don't do it. Don't drink that water. You know, this is also kind of the sad part is to me is like, this was definitely probably like a nice landing point for, you know, the Penobscot back in the day. And it like got turned into a textile mill. Anyway,
they could have done anything else with it.
Yeah, literally could. Could have done, like, I don't know, put something nice on it.
Why not, like...
That might be a good, like...
preservation? Like, no.
That might be a good sort of, like, revitalization project, you know? Because it's kind of just hanging there. being ugly and shit.
Yeah, because nobody can do anything with it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, like, yeah, it's polluted, but you can, like, spend the time to try to do it and clean up the pollution factor. You could try building on it. I mean, that's what happened with, like, some parks, like, took what used to be effectively, like, polluted ground and landfill, build dirt upon it. I know this is, like, expensive, but to do nothing with the land, I don't know. It's just kind of an eyesore. But anyway, we'd be getting rid of all those ghosts. We'd be evicting some poor ghosts.
Remember, we had this conversation. Does the land remain haunted, or do they... I don't know. I've never actually watched Poltergeist, so I don't know what happened. They got rid of the house. Oh, these ghosties. Well, I bet Wooden Lucy would stay if she is indeed related to this.
Yeah, she sounds like she just hangs out in the woods. She's a creature. Yeah, she is a creature. So we've got... That was scary.
We've got the police outside.
They're coming here.
We got some wee woos out there.
Wee woo!
Wee woo! Wooden Lucy. See, the Wooden Lucy one, I think, is the most interesting because it's more like a creature. I like creatures.
I like a creature as well. I wish I could find any information other than just like a couple of urban legend kind of websites, you know. And then like there's also like, this is an urban legend island as well, you know, the textile having been shut down since like 96. It was like, yeah, a lot of people would trespass on it, a lot of teenagers. People supposedly said, oh, teenagers go in there and never come out. Nothing to support that.
It's similar to like the Sabbatus well.
Yeah. It's exactly like that, where it's like, kind of like, oh, this is like the angsty teen challenge to go, you know.
Yeah. The funny thing about urban legends is the fact that you would think that some of these stories would be corroborated.
Right.
Like there would be like newspaper clippings, literally some, like anything. Like you could corroborate that these teenagers went missing.
Right.
But no. Also, fun fact, for a hot second, I thought that the movie Urban Legend took place in Maine, but it's just kind of a nondescript New England town. Some people have theorized it's either Maine or Connecticut.
What?
Having like looked back on it, I think I lean more towards Connecticut. Yeah. Personally, but there was some discussion around like if it was Maine, because that was one of the things when we started doing bonuses. I was like, can we watch Urban Legend? But I'm not sold.
Yeah, I'm also not sold there. Yeah, probably more Connecticut, honestly.
It gives me Connecticut vibes.
More Connecticut vibes. And Connecticut vibes. Vibes of Connecticut.
I don't know what the...
We did some history. Let's talk about another historical site.
Hey, it's a Maine-ism.
Can't help you pivot if I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a good point. You should have just read my mind. Why didn't you?
What are we talking about today, my friend?
We are going to talk about the Captain Thomas J. Smith House in Millbridge, Maine. Woo. This is something that my wife had shown me recently on the TikToks. The TikToks. It's a old ass house.
How old is it?
Real fucking old, let me tell you. Excuse me.
That's what happens when you eat right before podcasts.
I know. I've been stifling a burp the entire... Just farted. I've just been stifling
Cut
a burp.
Cut all of this out.
Why?
Jackson.
Is this uncouth? Yeah. Are we not that kind of podcast?
No! Oh, my God.
So,
how old is it?
It's old! 1850.
Allegra's parents' house is older than that.
Really?
Yeah, it was built in the 1700s.
Well, this is famous for a different reason. We don't see... Oh, does your fucking house have a fucking plaque in front of it? No!
No, it should, though.
Was it like... Well, here's why it's famous.
Okay, tell me about
jerk.
It.
Jerk. So, basically, this dude used to own this house, Captain Thomas J. Smith. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go out to the gold rush because he's like, I'm bored. I'm a captain. I want to go to the gold rush, get some gold.
Gold.
Gold. And so his wife was like, nah.
my wife shitting on my dreams.
The wife said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Sounds like a shitty idea, my friend.
Yeah, it's a stupid idea. What she said, though, is she mostly didn't want to abandon the home.
Okay.
She wanted to keep the home. She wanted to stay at the home. She wanted the home to happen. So Captain Smith decided, thinking with his big brain here, I'm going to take the home with me. He tore it down piece by piece, put it into what I would assume would be way too many wagons that is advised to travel across the country to California.
So this is the world's first mobile home?
mobile home would imply that you could just pick up and go. Like
he picked up and go.
But no, he didn't. He had to tear it down. It's the first movable home.
Okay, fine. All semantics.
There's a lot of... No, it's not cement. Mobile is, you know...
Anyway.
It's practically a transformer. Just hook it up to a car. Vroom, vroom.
He creates a puzzle out of his house and moves to California.
He huffed and puffed, blew his house down, put it into some carriages, went to California, then... Years later, was like, oh, I want to go back to Maine. And his wife was like, you know what has to happen. You know what happens now. So he huffed and puffed, blew his house down, and then brought it back to Maine and then rebuilt it in the same location. I believe it's the same location, but he did rebuild it. Same house.
I like how she's just kind of like punishing him for his...
stupidity.
Yeah. No forethought whatsoever.
I do want to know if... If, like, he actually got any gold?
The answer is probably no.
I don't think he did, yeah. I don't think he did.
If he did, then they could have just gotten a better house.
True, yeah. Well, I mean, the wife loved the place, mm-hmm. you know? I feel like he had to have been made some money, at least, to be wealthy enough to tear his fucking house down and move it across again. The country, you know? Pretty wild stuff.
Have you ever, what's it called?
Panned for gold?
Have you ever panned for gold?
No. I have when I was very, very little.
Me too!
When I was a wee, wee kid, I remember panning for gold.
Quote unquote, yes, yeah. Exactly.
It's like, I don't know, they just send you to a river and said, go try to find some gold, you idiot!
I did it, we were at like a western town in Arizona.
Mm. I have a feeling it was some sort of like western... recreation kind of themed town.
Yeah.
Western themed town. You mean like a historical site?
Yes.
It's like Tombstone.
No, I actually think it was more like it wasn't.
It was just themed.
It was themed.
Yeah.
It was not actually historical. It was themed to the Wild West.
You're actually in a mall that just had a cowboy theme.
No, it was the desert. It was in the middle of the desert, my dude.
I do want to go to, like, an old west town sometime.
You want to go to a saloon?
I want to go to a saloon. I want to go to a saloon with big, like, flappy doors.
I only want it... I will go if it is themed to The Wild West, the movie from the 90s. The Wild Wild West.
They only play Will Smith's greatest hits from Millennium and Wild Wild West.
The Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Actually, I think Millennium had Wild Wild West on it as a song, as a track.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been the introduction or where you could commercially acquire Wild Wild West. Was on Millennium. Millennium. I listened to the entire...
I'm going to go check on Apple Music after this.
I listened to the entirety of Millennium.
Uh-huh.
Me and my friend in college, we would, like, you know, cruise around completely sober.
Millennium.
And listen to Millennium. Stone sober.
Oh, my God.
And we would... they all sound the same. This is, my biggest... We listened to the whole fucking album. We're like, every song sounds the same. There's, like, no change. He is straight up like, he was still doing like 90s
yes.
rap, like, ha. There's a lot of ha ha's. Yeah, there's a lot of ha's. I remember there.
The only song.
Set on the mat. Ha 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 ha.
The only song that has more ha ha ha's is "They're Coming to Take Me Away." Ha 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 ha.
And the police are now coming to take us away.
So, you know, if you want to let us know if you have any stories about Wood and Lucy or the ghost of Ayers Island, you can reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. If you have something you want to say in terms of like, what do you like about our episodes? You want to leave a little review? Let everyone know that we're your favorite podcast. Wink, wink. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can also rate and review us on Apple and on Spotify.
Thank you very much, everybody. And I like to apologize. I know this is a shorter episode, but
we had two kind of short episodes.
You know, short episodes, but hey, we also had the bonus episode this week.
Bam, bam.
So looking forward to, you know, we'll be back to our regular hour-ish length.
We'll beef it up.
We'll beef it up. Yeah, we'll be fine. Anyway, we hope you had fun. We had fun, and it was awesome hanging out with the homies.
Bye.